Welcome back, everybody, to the final podcast of season six of the mid-season portion of the season. I think I got that right because they confuse the hell out of me every time, especially on The Talking Dead when he's like, we'll be back for this and that and this. And then he was like, I like how Chris Hardwick especially got in the jab of, we'll be back at our normal time, like we should be.
Did he say that?
He did say that.
Good for him. You know, I mean, I had to think he was pissed.
I think he was too. And I just realized I have my shirt inside out. I went to go. I have a hoodie on that has pockets in the middle, in the front. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I went to go put my hands in there because it's cold in my house. And I went to nothing because it's inside out. That's not good. I'm Justin, by the way.
Oh, and I'm ashamed to say that I'm his mother, Kelly.
You are my mom. That was the most awkward intro of all time on the podcast.
Really? I don't think so.
Okay, maybe not of all time, but it's up there. Like everybody said that this was their least favorite episode of The Walking Dead. This was the least favorite mid-season finale of The Walking Dead. This may be everybody's least favorite episode of our podcast.
Oh, well, then let's bring it up from here, dude.
Yeah, we may have to rebound. So, all right, we're going to get into it really quick because both of us, one of us has game awards to go watch. It's live tonight.
And one of
tonight.
Us has a video game to play.
Yes.
I murdered a bunch of people yesterday in the game, and I need to, I don't know, do something to make amends because I did not mean to do it.
Yeah. You've got to get that karma meter back.
Yes.
I can't even speak karma meter back
right.
up.
Right. Oh, I mean, I just stood there in the game. Like, my character just stood there.
Mm.
It was terrible anyway.
Well, we already know which camp you're in. You're one of the wolves. I'm Rick Grimes. Meet Kelly, the wolf.
I'm the alpha wolf.
Yeah, you are.
Oh, did you? And let me just say this real quick. You're the alpha wolf dude.
Mm-hmm.
His name is Benedict Samuel. Did you know that he was in The Walk with your boy, Joseph Gordon-Levitt? He was in that movie.
He was in which movie?
The Walk.
Oh, The Walk. I was like,
you know, the tightrope movie?
The movie that I absolutely loved.
Yes, I think he was one of his team.
I did not realize that. To be totally honest, he looks exactly like, not exactly like it, but he reminds me of the dude from Dazed and Confused. If anybody's ever seen Dazed and Confused, which is like one of, I believe it's Richard Linklater's movies. It's one of my favorite movie of his. He does just phenomenal work. He did, I think it was Boyhood here recently, which was amazing as well. I think it was Boyhood. I don't know. The one about the kid where he lives. And he does things in the movie. My brain's not working right now.
Yeah, okay, kid that lives and does things. God,
it's
that narrows it
where,
down.
It's the movie where it's filmed like over 18 years of his life.
Oh,
like Richard
yes.
Linklater's had this, he's been doing this movie for a very long time. And the one that he did, I'm just going to stop talking because I think I'm confusing movies right now. But anyways, there's a guy in Dazed and Confused.
Please stop talking.
I know. I'm like, Jesus.
I never would have brought this up if I would have thought we were going to go
this
Louises.
Way. Jeez Louises.
I mean, I wanted to make a tie-in with your boy, Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Hey,
that was it.
Actually, my brain is working. I just was second-guessing myself because, yes, Richard Linklater did Boyhood, which is amazing. He did the Before Sunset, Before Midnight, Before Sunrise movies.
Okay.
Freaking awesome movies.
Which has to do what with what?
He reminds me of... No, is it Pickford? I think it's Pickford in the movie. Sean Andrews, I think. I don't know.
We were probably right. This is probably our worst podcast of all time.
Probably so. Probably so. Jesus. I had these dreams and aspirations before we started the podcast of going right into the top three.
Okay, let's
do
it.
Not bullshitting about
it.
Anything.
I wasn't trying to bullshit. This was just a little
you
tidbit.
You wrecked it. You
this was a
messed
tidbit
it up.
About... The alpha wolf.
You took us off the rails with
I
your alpha
not.
Wolf business.
Yes, no, I'm
and
sorry.
Killing
you,
people.
You totally. I did. Okay. Let's. You want to do our top three real quick?
Yeah. Let's do our. Actually, before we get in our top three, mm-hmm. I had to point out Hank could not be a part of the podcast tonight. His grandma has not been doing good at all this week.
Yeah.
She's been in and out of the
sick.
Hospital. So if you want to send Hank some love, it's at Hank09. On Twitter, I think you would really appreciate it. He's, you know, he's he's just kind of all over the place right now, so he couldn't come and be on the podcast with us. But I will also have to say that I don't know. I guess we can say Hank won on the predictions for the midseason finale. You predicted 17.2 million people would watch it. You definitely lost. I think the Walking Dead creators and showrunners and everybody, they love you. They were with you in the high hopes.
Yeah, I mean, it was a good goal.
It was a lofty goal, but it was a good goal. I predicted 15.5 million. Yeah. Which is crazy that I was that far away from you, but Hank predicted 13.7 million, and the numbers that I'm seeing right now are 13.98 million.
All right.
So I think we have to say that Hank is the official winner of the Worthless Contest of the Week.
Yeah.
So congratulations, Hank. Hope you get to, everything getting better, because we can't wait to podcast our new podcast with you, which is going to be on The Expanse.
Yes, that's going to be a lot of fun. So, and I wish, actually, I'm kind of glad Hank isn't here, because I hate to have to concede to somebody else when they win. So this worked out well that he didn't show up. So, okay. So are you ready now to go into the top three? I mean, quit dicking around, dude.
I'm so sorry. Yes, let's get into our top three for episode 8, start to finish, the mid-season finale of season 6.
All right, so my number three was Carl just going all badass when, got the gun from Ron. I loved that. Told him that, yeah, man, I get it. My dad killed your dad, but you need to know something. Your dad was an asshole. I mean, that's just totally badass. This dude just wanted to kill you. Just wanted to kill you. You took the gun away from him and then, said something really shitty about his dad. So I thought that was pretty cool. And speaking of Chandler Riggs, did you see the thing that he was supposedly has auditioned for the role of a young Han Solo in the upcoming Star Wars anthology film?
I did not know he auditioned for that. I know that 2,500 people auditioned for that role.
And he was one of them. He's probably a lot closer to the correct age than some of the dudes that, like Dave Franco.
Dave Franco audition?
Uh-huh.
Oh, nice. I mean, that's going to be some tough shoes to fill. Like, no doubt about it. I know that Chandler Riggs, he also auditioned for Spider-Man recently, the role that went to Tom Holland, because, one, it was filming here in Atlanta, so it would have been a lot easier for him to, go back and forth.
Right.
Now I'm curious. If he's auditioning for this role, does that mean that the movie's going to film in Atlanta? Now, normally we would like, oh, he's auditioning for a role, he's dead.
He's going to die. Yeah.
I don't think that's the case.
Yeah.
And the way they film the episodes, sometimes it feels like people could go off and have whole other careers because they don't show up all the time. Like, Aaron especially. It's like, I mean, no wonder you see Aaron doing all sorts of YouTube stuff.
Yes.
Not Aaron, the character, but the guy in real life, Ross Marquand.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I did like that scene as well. I'm glad that you put that in here because I didn't put any Carl-centric stuff in my top three at all, mainly because I thought that you would cover that. It was a badass moment. I think in the moment on Sunday, I was like, dang, Carl's being a dick. And I think we even called Rick and Carl a bully.
Yeah.
Whenever we did our little instant cast on Sunday. But after I watched it the second time, it wasn't a bully move at all. It was actually nice. Like, I mean, yes, it was mean what he said to him.
Right.
But, I mean, it was a reality. His dad was an asshole.
Right.
He was an asshole to his mom, Jesse. He was an asshole to Sam. We didn't really see him be as much of an asshole to Ron, but we know that he beat him. Like, we know that he hit
Ron.
Right,
exactly.
So, it's not too much of a stretch to call somebody an asshole when they really are.
Yeah, I think it's easy to for Ron to just... instead of grieving about his dad, he just puts it all on Rick. What is that? Deference?
Denial. I mean, it would have been different had Rick just out and out killed his dad.
Right.
But his dad killed Reg, and then Rick killed him.
Yeah, and...
that was his punishment.
I mean, if you're going to be mad at Deanna. She was the one that said do it.
Yeah, that's very true. But he hasn't been mad at Deanna
at
all.
Sick.
I think
Sick 'em.
it's, you know, it's definitely the moving in on
Oh,
his
well,
mom
that
at the
part too.
same
That
time, you know.
okay, that could have something to do with
Like,
it.
I get it, you know. If I was Ron, if I was in his shoes, I'd be really ticked off as
Yeah.
well, I would want vengeance on this family. No doubt about it. I mean, you know,
I was very
that's an
glad
awkward thing.
that it didn't happen in this episode. Except glad I expected it, but now I feel like we're still gonna get it. So now I still have to be sad and wait for it.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's very true.
It just would could have been better to just have gotten it over with.
Yeah, just whatever was gonna happen,
Yeah.
just let it happen. So, well, I think that was a good number three. My number three has to be the opening. I absolutely love this opening. I thought it was just freaking amazing. I love the contrast by how episode seven ended and how this one opened. 'Cause, you know, like we fully expected just from the word go in the mid-season finale that all hell was gonna break loose. I would have never in a million years guessed that they would start out with this really slow opening with one character in the house just doing like the normal everyday things that kids do. He's like playing with his action figures. He's, you know, take he's He's going out and putting the plate, you know, basically, you know, how a lot of kids would do it. Like if they
Yeah.
got grounded, you put it in front of the door
Right.
because you can't come out of your room because you're in trouble. Even though Sam's, you know, he's not in trouble, but he's fearful for coming, you know, going downstairs. I love the references in the opening scene to Invincible, the comic book. I didn't catch that the first time I watched it, and luckily somebody else caught it. A million people, way better at catching things than I am. Which is such a great comic book. Like, if you're a fan of The Walking Dead, definitely go check out Invincible. It's probably the coolest superhero comic I've ever read in my life. Like, it's that freaking good. And then I also loved the drawing that Sam was doing. I didn't get it at first. Like, I had to pause it.
Yeah.
Like, when I was watching it the second time, I was like, what
Okay,
is this he's drawing? I
he's
see
got a
like,
line through somebody.
yeah, exactly. I was like, what is this line through somebody? And then like these, you know, you could tell that there was walkers on the side of this person that had the line over him. And
Right.
then I realized, okay, it's the callback to whenever Carol was telling him, you know, if you tell your mom, I'm gonna tie you up to a tree out in the middle of nowhere, and you're gonna scream out for your mom, but nobody's gonna come except for them, the
Yeah.
monsters, and they're
Yeah.
gonna, you know, just basically come eat you alive, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Nice.
I was
I
like,
mean, you know, no
damn.
wonder the kid is just a freak.
I know. It's almost like I blame Carol more
Oh yeah,
for his
definitely.
mental like stability at this point than the walkers themselves.
Well, and he kept looking to Carol to get some kind of, you know, motherly love.
Yeah.
That for some reason he wasn't getting at home. And Carol just, you know, she kept butting him away, you know, with the back of her hand and but telling him nasty, horrible things in the as she did it, you know. Yeah, the only people that don't kill are the monsters. And yeah, she's turned into not quite the Carol we started off with.
I don't know about this new Carol character. Oh, what was that? I got a
I don't
weird
know. Yeah.
beeping noise when I tried to check on my Facebook because I was gonna point out that somebody said something about Carol. Where was it at? I had a bu well, we'll just get into all the comments later when
Okay.
I have them
Okay.
all pulled up, but I
That'll
wanted to
work.
make sure we got to them this week because sometimes we're good about that, sometimes we're bad about it.
Yeah.
So,
All right.
what
So
was your number two?
my number two is just the jump out of my skin moment when we hear Judith crying. Rick runs up to check on her, and Deanna is just draped all over the playpen, looking like she's eating her. I mean, I nearly jumped out of my skin. And then, you know, Rick goes in for the kill, and she says, "It's still me. It's still me." You know, I just thought that was just a really fun, oh my God moment, which. The nice thing is we get a lot of oh my God moments in the show, but usually they are oh my God. And so this one wasn't. So we got to go, okay, you know. So I liked
it. No, I thought it was awesome as well. I had that in my mentions. And, you know, I'm glad you picked it.
Okay. Well,
now I have another one I get to pick. So.
All right. Well, and I'm glad you picked the opening because that was in my.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
It didn't make my list. So.
Oh, it didn't make your list.
No. So.
Oh, okay. Well, I wanted to point out that song that they were playing in the background.
Tiptoe through the tulips.
Yeah.
That one.
Yeah. That part where you're talking about the scene that you're referring to is your number two.
Mm-hmm.
With that music still playing in the background, it just made it so much creepier. I don't know if we talked about it during our instant cast, but if you've ever played the game BioShock, I mean, it felt like it was straight out of a BioShock moment.
Yeah, it really did.
Yeah, that music is so creepy.
Well, and you know, that tiptoed through the tulips thing, your uncle used to sing that a lot, I guess just to bug me. I don't know.
Who sings that song on a regular basis?
You know, it was a
serial killers.
It was a popular song. Now I'm gonna have to look this up when it was a popular song. Tip.
Do you play it on your radio station?
No, hell no.
Yeah, I mean, because that's got to be like before.
It was 1968.
It was only 1968.
It's Tiny Tim.
Yeah.
And. Hang on.
God, that's just creepy.
Yeah.
I mean, that just doesn't seem like a song in 1968.
I know.
Unless that person was on lots of acid.
Oh, he's a really creepy looking dude.
Gotta be.
Yeah, but I mean, it was a hugely, hugely popular song.
Well. I could get why it'd be popular.
I don't know why, because it was creepy.
Well, for me, I mean, I would get why it would be popular until I found out it came out in 1968. Like, right. I was totally expecting that was like 1920s or something.
That's what I figured.
Early 1900s.
Yeah.
And, you know, there was lots of songs that sounded very similar to that. So.
But no,
it's some dude in 1968.
Yep.
Well, that's interesting. I did not know that, but love that music playing. I mean, throughout the whole episode, it was just it had such a creepy vibe to it.
I know. The idea of a little kid sitting up in his room playing that record over and over again.
Yeah, that poor kid. I mean, damn.
Yeah.
We gotta get him a better collection.
I mean, Adele has come out with a great brand new album.
Yeah.
We need to send it to him.
Exactly. Yes, here you go, Sam. Here's this new Adele album. all right, my number two. Man, I don't want to steal any of your thunder.
No, don't worry about it.
Okay, well, my number two has to do with the title. And I don't even know if I caught it the first time I watched the episode, but I absolutely loved whenever Deanna's talking to Michonne, and Michonne's like, you know, saying, are you ready to go? You know, I'll end it for you. I'll make it quick, basically. And she's like, no, it's my life, start to finish. And I just, that was such a freaking, I felt like that was Herschel level quote right there.
It was. And I get chills just talking about that scene because it was so amazing. Deanna was a horrible loss. She really was. She wasn't somebody that we just took to immediately, I don't think.
No.
But she's been where she's just more and more, you know, she's grown on us, which of course we knew that meant that they were going to kill her. but that was a brilliant scene.
Yeah. I mean, she's definitely grown on Rick, which has been interesting to see, even though he keeps trying to downplay her.
Mm-hmm.
Like in front of other people, for sure. Whenever they're together alone, you can see that he respects her. But it's like every time that somebody else is around, or you know, anytime Deanna's mentioned, he's always kind of been like, you know, she's basically like whenever she came with the plans, and he pushed that off so quickly in front of everybody else, and just basically.
I kind of got that. to me. I understood it because, it, you know, shit was going crazy at the time.
Don't
bring plans for future, you know. I think he thought she was losing her mind just a little bit at the time.
I still don't know that she wasn't.
Right. How much did you love the fact that when she wrote the notes to Spencer and she left one for Maggie as well? I mean, I just thought that was really sweet.
It was very nice that she left one to Maggie. I mean, Maggie was definitely her protege.
Yeah.
She was mentoring, you know, how to do all these things when it comes to running a community. Not necessarily running it in the way that Rick runs things, but the
day-to-day.
Yeah, the day-to-day, the more running it the way that we do now, you know, mm-hmm. that kind of stuff.
Civilized.
Yes, a more civilized way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and Tova, whenever she was on The Talking Dead or some, she said what she had wrote to them in those notes, which I couldn't believe that she had like a full explanation of like everything that she wrote. And I actually think that she may have actually wrote something down to Spencer.
Could have been.
In Maggie's character. Yeah. For real.
Uh-huh.
But it was nice. I mean, I don't remember what it was, but to paraphrase it, she was basically telling Spencer to carry on and don't, you know, basically don't get down and don't let up because she's dead now at this point. So,
you know, I'm sorry, when your mom dies in the zombie apocalypse by being bit by a zombie, you're going to kind of get down.
Yeah. It's nice for her to write that.
Yeah.
But in practice,
right,
it's a little bit more difficult. I mean, we saw how she acted whenever, you know, Reg was killed. She definitely was a shell
the day
of her
before,
former self.
The day before yesterday.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes, the day before yesterday.
Yeah.
Yes.
She seemed pretty upset on The Talking Dead about her character being killed.
I don't know. I didn't get that as much. It was awkward in the opening whenever Robert Kirkman said,
I think she was just in Ride the Man of Time. Yeah.
And then whenever he tried to like grab her hand later in the episode, and I couldn't tell if she was starting to grab it too, or if she like pulled it away.
And then he
freaked out and he pulled his hand away really quickly.
Well, you know, I mean, they keep bringing him on like as some kind of odd buffer every time a character gets killed off that I guess really wasn't thinking that they were going to be killed. You know, like when Beth got killed, he was there.
I didn't even think about that. Yeah, they keep bringing him on, and I don't know why they keep bringing him on, because it's like they don't even talk to him about stuff. Just like, what?
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Yeah, you would think the creator of the Walking Dead universe,
he should kind of get it, the show, the couch all to himself, honestly.
I would think so.
Yeah.
I mean, it's almost kind of like, and then, not to get off on a tangent about The Talking Dead, but when he was trying to plug Skybound, which that's his company, based, I mean, you know, for all intents and purposes, that's his company. And Chris Hardwick kind of kept giving him shit about it.
Really?
Whenever Chris Hardwick is always plugging the shit
out of his
Instagram.
Yes.
And I'm on the Fun Comfortable Tour. Come check me out.
And my TV show After Midnight or At Midnight or whatever it is.
I'm just like, bro, let the poor man, which he's not poor, obviously, but let the dude hawk his shit.
Yeah.
He's got other comic books that are badass. Let him talk about them for half a second. I did love Jason Alexander on there.
Yeah.
I would have never guessed. I mean, he is like a very, like a true fan and very insightful.
Yes.
I mean, he had a couple of jokes, but
The fact that he would have been happy that had Deanna actually eaten Judith.
Yes. I'm not gonna lie.
I knew you were jumping up and down.
I was high fiving him through the screen. I was like, that's right, Jason Alexander, that's right. Yeah. I wanted her to be zombie bait,
It would have been really, really interesting had they gone that direction. I mean, Deanna was obviously gonna die anyway.
Yeah.
Rick could have chopped her head off. And we could have had sad Rick again going into the back half of the show.
Yeah, exactly. But okay, given the options, which would you have found more exciting? Her eating Judith and Rick lopping her head off with the axe?
Mm-hmm.
Or her getting her moment in the sun where she's blowing zombies away and just screams at them with the, you know, the silent scream?
Right. Now, if I was the actress, I would have been begging, please let me eat that baby.
I'll be talked about forever.
Forever.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it would have been an interesting, I think they're too afraid.
I do too. I really, I did not want to get off on these tangents when we talked about this episode of The Walking Dead, but, they're pulling back. Like, they're pulling their punches so much on this show lately. And they're kind of starting to pile up and annoy me. And I know, you know, that Andrew Lincoln probably feels the same way. Maybe not so much in this episode.
Well, because I know you're buds. You guys are buds, so.
Who's buds?
You and Andy.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah, me and Danny, we're tight. You know, we hang out at Barnes & Noble together mm-hmm. all the
exactly.
time. You know,
mm-hmm.
we read the same books together. I hold his page for him. He holds my page. Yeah, we have a fantastic time. We're basically the bosom buddies all over again.
That's right.
So, but yeah, I hope that once Negan comes, they're going to have to nut up
mm-hmm.
on the show, because the places that Negan takes the comic books, you know, even though we went some pretty dark places, obviously, beforehand in the comic books that the show decided not to go to. Now, the show has gone to some dark places. I mean, last season, was it last season? God, I'm getting confused right now. When Rick killed the claimers and ripped Joe's neck off, that was season 4, right?
It was end of season 4.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
They went to, I mean, that was dark. And then the premiere, very dark with the slit throats. I mean,
yeah.
Maybe, and this is the second time we've had Judith in like harm's way like that. I mean, well, the second time in the sense of one human individual that could have killed her.
Right.
So the one with Tyrese, that guy, the bubblegum chewing guy.
Right, bubblegum. Well,
yes.
Or Mika.
That's true.
Or yeah. Lizzie.
Lizzie, yeah,
yeah.
Lizzie.
Yeah, she's, this girl has got just amazing luck that she is still
she
alive.
Does. She has amazing, amazing luck. So, I don't know. Let us know your thoughts. Which would you have rather seen? Would you have rather seen Deanna eating Judith, or are we monsters like Sam talks about, or did you enjoy it the way that it played out on the show? So yeah, let us know, thewalkingnaked@gmail.com. All right, so my number two, right?
Yeah, if you haven't done your number two yet, get to
no,
it, dude.
I don't know if I've done my number two yet, to be honest.
Oh, because you don't mark them.
Let's see. I don't. Okay, here's my number two. It's pretty simple. Rick axing that walker and saying,
what did he
I got
him?
This one, you get the one behind it. We're going to need at least two.
Yeah.
God, that was fucking
yeah,
epic.
Yeah, that was great. That was really good.
It was so awesome. I'm just like, I love that callback.
Spread those guts on me. Spread those guts on me.
The gross. I just can picture you saying that to Andrew Lincoln at this point. It's disgusting. But yeah, I love the callback to guts. I always love everybody's facial reactions too. You know, when they're like, I get what? You want me to put that on
just
me?
Just think of puppies. Dead puppies.
dead puppies. Yeah, that's exactly what I want to think about. Yeah, the other callback that was nice was, I think you may have pointed it out in the in our instant cast, was Maggie on top of that little
yes.
stand,
yeah.
comparing it to whenever Glenn was on top of that portion of the prison and all the walkers were below him and they did that overhead shot. So
great. That was great.
Yeah, it was great. So.
It was so great. It was really great. Okay, my number one is Carol being super manipulative and acting like she had a concussion and, oh, I'm hurting and I'm about to pass out.
Woe is me.
Yeah. Oh, this is, I'm just a little sweet thing.
Yeah.
You know, let me make you some cookies. And, you know, she made Morgan believe that she wasn't a threat. And will no one ever learn that Carol is definitely a threat? She is a badass and she's evil. So I love Carol, but you know, I mean, Carol is there to get the job done.
She is there to get the job done.
Now, not to say that she didn't fudge this job up.
She did fudge this job up. Okay, I've found the reply or the emails real quickly. Actually, they're on Facebook, so I don't know. They're just messages. This was a conversation back and forth between Lisa and Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
And because Lisa and Jeff are they're not really digging this season thus far, but they both love Carol. And because Jeff says Carol has been the only reason I've watched, she has become such a strong character, and Morgan has been disappointing. Lisa says, exactly, same here, love Carol. And then Tammy comes in. This is funny that I'm reading this, but these are all listeners, I would assume, of our podcast. They write on our Facebook wall. I would think they listen. I know Tammy does. I think Lisa does as well. Tammy says, I don't love Carol. I think she is a monster. But in the battle between her and Morgan, I side with Carol. Morgan has selfishly jeopardized everyone and must be handled accordingly. So in the fight of Morgan v. Carol, not the real fight that we saw, mm-hmm. but in the,
figurative battle?
Yeah, the figurative battle. Who do you side on or with?
I'm always going to have to go with Carol because... You know, she's our girl. She's one of our original people. She always, even when she does some stupid stuff, like burning people before they're dead.
Not letting anybody else know. Hey, I'm going to burn your girlfriend.
Yeah, exactly. She was about to die. She always does it for the good of the group. Morgan is not trying to do this for the good of the group. He's doing it for the good of mankind, he thinks. But it's
or
still,
his own moral conscience.
Right. And it's not for the good of our gang. So who would you side with?
It's incredibly tough. Carol has been there from the beginning. She's grown so much as a character.
You sound like you're setting me up for me not to like you anymore. So just keep going on. Go ahead. Walk into this.
Okay. She's grown so much as a character. You're right. I think that she does look out for the well-being of the group, although I think that she makes some wrong decisions in looking out for the welfare of the group as a whole. I think that she was the one that planted these seeds of doubt in Rick's head that has caused a lot of issues with Rick's group and the Alexandrians. And I think she's also planted seeds of doubt for Rick with Morgan, which I don't like, because Morgan was there for Rick. He was there from the beginning. I mean, he's the one that, to me, saved Rick.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it wasn't for him coming along and Dwayne knocking him out, who knows what would have happened to Rick Grimes, because he wasn't prepared to deal with everything. He didn't know what was going on. I mean, he walked up to somebody basically and is like, what's happening? Like, let me get right in your Walker face so you can bite my head off. So I don't know. It's very tough, but I think, you know, unpopular opinion here, but I'm going to side with Morgan.
I don't even know you.
Yeah, I'm even though Tammy says she's siding with Carol, even though she thinks she's a monster, which the thing she did to Sam was pretty wrong, you know? I get that the kid's a meddlesome kid and everybody hates him on the show.
No,
and,
he's just a little kid.
And everybody's basically comparing him to Ollie at this point. I'm pretty sure we compared him to Ollie as well.
That was just you.
I mean, he is Ollie. There's no doubt about it. He's Ollie. But, you know, you also can side with Ollie. And most people that are listening to this podcast that don't watch Game of Thrones are like, who the hell is Ollie? but he's a character on Game of Thrones, and he did something very controversial in the last season. So much like Sam's doing something controversial now.
No. Has he done anything even anywhere close to Ollie? He really hasn't. Okay. I'm just saying.
He has not. He wanted some damn cookies.
Right.
You know, that's not that big of a crime.
Yeah, I mean,
Carol, stop making such damn delicious cookies, and Rick Sam won't come to your freaking house.
Is Rick Grimes dead because of Sam?
No,
exactly.
Not
then
yet, at least.
Then he's no Ollie. But yeah, they kind of did set it up to where there could be a lot of dead people. Okay.
Did.
So what do you think is going to be the outcome of our final moment there?
Well, wait, you haven't got to my number one yet.
Oh, I thought you already did that. Go ahead.
Dang, punk. Still taking my time away.
All right, let's hear
it. You know
it.
I likes to talk.
I know you do. And you've been, so I thought you were finished.
You're like, haven't you talked enough? Good God. Okay, well, I'll keep it short and sweet. My number one, we bitched about it, and a lot of people have bitched about it.
Mm-hmm.
According to Rotten Tomatoes, The Walking Dead mid-season finale has been rated the worst episode of the series. The worst. It has a 32% score on Rotten Tomatoes, which is crazy. This is what one person said. When the episode faded to black, deferring the end of the scene to February, it felt incomplete rather than suspenseful. We don't know what happens next, but we're also not given a motivating reason to wonder beyond, do our heroes survive? So, my number one is the cliffhanger ending.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't really love it.
Yeah,
but
you can say it. You can say you hated it.
No, I don't hate it. I was annoyed with it when I watched it initially. And I think the most annoying factor is, yes, that we have to wait until February. But I will say this, the fact that we got this cliffhanger mid-season finale is so far out of the ordinary for The Walking Dead. And so, in a way, it's even more exciting than crazy shit going on at the end of this episode. Now, did we want it? Did I want it? Yes. I wanted to see the crazy shit go down. I wanted to see people, you know, doing crazy stuff, getting eaten by walkers and, you know, Rick killing people and just all the shit going down. But since we didn't get it, we're going to have such an epic second half of the season premiere. It's going to be balls to the wall insane. And that's so different from any other time that we've had on The Walking Dead. I mean, it's usually always like a crazy death or like a crazy, like, suspenseful fight between Michonne and the governor. And this time, I mean, it's going to just like hit the ground running. So, you know, it's like no more picking up the pieces after the mid-season finale.
Right. There's the whole back half, I think, is going to be quite likely
insane.
Awful. Uh-huh. Just
yeah.
Awful.
Yeah, just horribly horrific awful stuff that's going to happen. And this season, more so than any other season, is going to be like probably the best binge watching season of The Walking Dead. Like, could you imagine instead of having to wait week to week and just like it is normal, had this season, all 16 episodes, been loaded up to Netflix?
Yeah.
You know, on...
It would have been amazing.
Yeah.
No one
Halloween
would be...
Day, yeah. Boom.
Yeah, and I could see us sitting and watching through the whole thing, too. I think you're right. This will be an excellent season to binge, because these have been... They've been all great episodes. If you have a whole week in between them that you have to wait for something else, I could see people feeling like they're moving a little bit slower. But if you get to move right on immediately to something else, you know, where you
forget
get
a lot of the bad.
Right.
You know, you it's very forgiving on episodes when you binge watch them and you just get to, you know, snap right through them. And, you know, you forget that, oh, that last episode, it was pretty quiet. Nothing really happened in that episode. There was a lot of, you know, quote unquote filler in that episode. But yeah, each episode this season, I thought, to me, has been stronger on as a whole than a lot of the episodes that we've seen in the past. Like, there seems to be some clunkers every now and again on The Walking Dead the last couple of seasons. And then a lot of people argue that there was a lot of clunkers in season two. I just happen to love that season because I thought the storytelling was great between, you know, Rick and Shane. Like, I thought that was like some of the best TV you can get. Those two characters are so dynamic. But yeah, that's my number one. I feel like it stinks because we can't ultimately judge this episode as a whole right now.
No.
Because there's a part two coming.
Right.
Which does stink. I agree with everybody that's hating on the episode in that aspect. I mean, it sucks.
Well, go back to what we talked about in our instant take.
Yeah.
And that was the fact that it just felt a little unsatisfying. And that was my whole thing that I didn't like about it. I just felt, you know, like I just, I'm not going to say what I felt like, but I was unsatisfied.
Yeah, you can keep that one. I know you too well to know that where that
was. Yeah, don't.
And I'm like, I do not want that conversation on the podcast at all. You can tweet Kelly at Dipsy DJ if you want the back half of that story that she was going down. So, okay, well let's I want to get into a couple of articles really quickly.
Okay, let's do that because you have a gaming 5 minutes till gaming.
Oh my God, it's actually 3 minutes to the gaming show.
Yeah.
Crap.
Okay.
What do I want to go to first? I want to go through this. I haven't even looked at this article, so I don't know how bad they are.
Okay.
I want to get your reaction to this article.
And yours as well.
Yeah, mine as well. Okay. The name of this article, which is on Oregon Live or the Oregonian, it says the title is "The Walking Dead: 11 Reasons Why Season 6 Has Been So Bad," and we don't agree with this article. We're just reading it. So,
yeah. You
know,
yeah, don't,
we don't
yeah.
know any, I don't even know what each one of these reasons are, but I'm curious because I saw this and I was like, this is interesting. Okay. Let's see if we can agree with them. Number one, plotting pacing. It said Deanna took so long to succumb to her walker bite that she still had time to dispense tedious nagging advice, prodding Michonne with the question, "What do you want?"
Oh my God. I hate this person.
It says it's not a good sign when Walking Dead episode makes you think, hurry up and die already, Deanna.
Okay.
Man, somebody just doesn't like The Walking Dead.
Right.
I mean, that was probably my least favorite part of the episode. I don't really, that was kind of pointless to me for her to keep asking Michonne what she wanted. We kind of already had that conversation with Michonne previously whenever she was, you know, trotting along with her walker pets, and she was so far removed from the rest of the group because that was her life, the loner life. She didn't want to be a part of anything because she could lose that thing if she let herself in. So I think we already know what Michonne wants. Michonne wants to be a part of a community. Michonne wants to be a part of this family that they have going already that was kind of falling apart with Rick not trusting the Alexandrians. And we already saw Michonne kind of give Rick like the you know, the people's eyebrow whenever he was talking ill towards the Alexandrians, not wanting to help them out and stuff. So,
right.
Number two, drop storylines. This one I can kind of agree with. It said, remember when characters would do something in one episode and we'd hear about it in the next one? Not this season. Rick and Jesse finally kiss, but we really have no idea what more, if anything, that led to. Their characters acted like cordial acquaintances amid the carnage in the mid-season finale. I disagree with that statement, though. I will say that there's been some storylines that have kind of tapered off, but I disagree. I mean, the looks they kept giving each other in this episode, you know, the looks whenever Ron and Carl got in the fight, that looked like a look of, these are two people that really like each other that have kids.
Yeah.
That are fighting.
Right.
That sucks. Like when you know, you're in that relationship, it could be the new stepdad, the new stepmom, you know, those two people love each other, but kids bring in this like terrible equation to the, you know, to everything. So
yes, that's so true.
Yeah. You're like, damn you, Justin.
Not you. Not you.
Cock-blocking me.
Never you.
Number three, keeping the core characters apart. said, I don't know whether it's because the production can shoot faster and thus save money by having episodes that feature one or two characters instead of the key group interacting, but as storytelling, it's rotten. I miss seeing Carol talking to Daryl, Rick and Michonne strategizing, and all of them working as a team. And how long have we been going to wait to see Glenn and Maggie together?
Yeah, no, I can agree with that because we did that a lot last year.
We did. We did indeed. I think that they need to get better about that going forward as far as they need, you know, I hate to say it, but they're going to have to trim the fat at some point. And I don't mean any of the characters. I don't want to get rid of any of the characters, but if it.
But somebody got to die.
Yeah, if it helps to better storytelling between, you know, the characters that we have.
Right.
Then I think that's a sacrifice that we're going to have to make. Because
nice of you.
Well,
I'm sure the actors will be super thrilled that you've offered them up that way.
Well, either that or they need to figure out how to do it quickly. I say that Game of Thrones has figured it out perfectly, but they also have like hour and 5 minute episodes each week.
Right.
It's, you know, they only have 10 of them, but I think they have shown that a huge cast can be treated very nicely as far as the storytelling aspect of each character.
I don't know. I'd say on Game of Thrones, we also go sometimes for weeks without seeing a character.
They did this last season.
Yeah.
For sure. This was their weakest season when it came to that. No doubt about it. I think they did a better job in seasons past. This season, not as much. Moody at number five, or actually we skipped number four because I don't believe it anyway. Number four is the Glenn bait and switch. We've already talked about that.
Yeah, whatever.
I thought it was a smart thing to do for the series. It got everybody talking about it. Number five, moody adolescents are irritating. Enough with Ron, the revenge-minded son of Jesse trying to shoot Rick. Enough of Enid and her one-note doom saying, this is how it happens. I will agree. They make the kids on this show annoying as shit.
Mm-hmm.
Carl included. This is the best Carl's ever been as a character.
This is. Because Carl, and most seasons, I have wanted to punch him.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I was thrilled to be able to include him in my top three in a positive note.
Yeah.
Because most of the time I'm just like, oh my God, shut up, Carl.
Don't you ever treat Rick like that again.
Yeah, exactly. So
eat your stupid pudding, but don't ever talk to Rick like that.
I think he seems to be finally starting to grow up a little bit and actually see what his dad has gone through.
Yes.
And what he does to take care of everybody. Now, of course, that could change next week because he's still a teenager. But for now, I'm starting to like him a little bit more.
Yeah.
But the rest of them, no.
I agree. I don't even like the rest of these. I mean, they talk basically about Morgan. Yeah, see, this article was a bust. This is just somebody that wants to bitch about The Walking Dead. I mean, number eight, you know the season's got problems when the most memorable character is a goat. Seriously, I was more choked up when Tabitha met her in than any of the random Alexandrians we know nothing about that fell to the walkers. I'll give her credit that, yes, a lot of Alexandrians died.
Yes, we needed those extra people to die.
We needed people to die.
I just mean, you know, ones that we didn't love.
Yes, I do think that we're going to have to, I mean...
Again, I know you just said that. Earlier. Yeah, that's it. But also, I also agree. Tabitha was sweet. It was sad when she went.
She was. It was very
but,
sad.
Eastman.
Yeah.
Was. I mean, how much did you love that character?
Yeah, I don't really get the fact that this article would just completely gloss over Eastman, and we only got him one episode and. I feel like he was as beloved as many of the characters that had been around for seasons on the show. Like, people loved Eastman.
Oh, yeah, he was great.
Yeah, he was a great character. And the last one, egregious use of tiptoe through the tulips. No. Okay. No. Not even close.
It created a very creepy vibe, so.
Yeah, it was perfect.
Mm-hmm.
It was perfect. I thought it was perfect. So, okay. I know we've got to go.
Well, now you just made that person famous by reading all their BS on our podcast. So,
that's
great
true.
Move,
well,
Justin.
I don't know. I'd be curious to see what the comments say. Do they have comments on this? 66 comments. Well said. I agree 1,000%.
That was that dude's mom.
Damn. Yeah, and there's a girl. Man, I think everybody's agreeing.
Yeah.
That's damn. The show needs to end.
Oh, please. See, these are not fans. Let's move on. This is bullshit.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah. I mean, come on. Think about it this way. This is season 6 of the show. And in my opinion, I do think that this was... I think it was some of the stronger 8 episodes that we've seen. Now, I will agree with a lot of people that they're saying that it didn't, It was a lot of good stuff, but it didn't lead to like any kind of satisfying conclusion in the first half. But it's a show that's not like a procedural.
Right.
It's it leads to an overarching story that we haven't seen the conclusion to yet. We haven't seen the back half of this season. I mean, so I think that we've got to, unlike the other seasons, I feel like this season especially is going to join up the 8 and 8. A lot of the times they're so different in each 8.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's like the first 8 could be like it's a season unto itself.
Yeah, 2 small seasons.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And this is nice because now we're going to get a continuation of the story like right off from the get-go. So, all right. I wanted to read an email from Luke. he says, he was let down by the midseason finale. Damn it. Do I have any good emails? But he does say it felt like part one of a 2-hour episode. Instead of getting a good midseason finale with real cliffhangers, we get a 1-hour episode. It left me with the same feeling I got when AMC split up the last seasons of Mad Men and Breaking Bad. Why they could do better than that. Trying to read through what everything he says. Oh, he says, how can you determine if it is not a real cliffhanger? Are you left saying, how are they going to get out of this one? For me, the answer was no. I never asked myself that. In fact, I had a good idea of what would happen next. Rick and the rest make a run for it. Eugene, Carol, Morgan, and all of them come to argue, regroup, and then make a plan to go save what's her name? Glenn and Eden find a clever way to slip into Alexandria and save Maggie.
Okay.
No comments?
No, I just... who's what's her name?
I don't
that's
know.
What I, that's what I want to know.
I don't... Denise. Denise, probably.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, that does bring up a good point. And sorry, Luke, I don't think I gave your email justice. There was more to it.
We love you, Luke. Thank you so
much.
Yes,
we do love you. He said, I know I've been quiet, but trust me when I say I've been listening to every cast you guys do. Keep them coming. So thank you so much, Luke. And we already talked about the annoying kids, in the show. So... but that brings me to a question. What do you think that the wolf is going to do with Denise? Is he going to kill her?
Nope.
Has he turned over a new leaf?
He's turned over a new leaf. He's going to come back and his teeth are going to be brushed.
That might be good.
That would be awesome.
That's going to go a long way to getting you some ladies in the zombie apocalypse.
Yeah. I thought it was interesting that they had two really good people working on this man, that she continued on with this. I mean, here she is. She's basically a hostage. Mm-hmm. At the time he was tied up, but we knew how that was going to go. She's down there in this room with him, but she's still, you didn't start off this way. Some people are just good. I think Denise just happens to be one of those good people, and maybe it is somebody like Denise that could turn him around, or he's going to slash her throat in front of all of us. I don't know.
I hope not.
I like her a lot.
I do. I like her a lot as well, and I loved it. Yeah, when she called him, it's like you're so full of shit.
Mm-hmm.
That was such a awesome little moment because I mean, even somebody that's super evil, whenever you call them on their bullshit, they're still human beings, and they're probably like, man, damn.
I am full of shit.
I guess I'll have to let you live. You tricked me. This is the one trick in my book for, being my serial killer self, and I didn't kill you. Okay. I was trying to find something if we, you know, saw anything.
Again, your gaming podcast is on.
I know.
I mean, not podcast, but show, actually. Sorry. Everything's a podcast in my world.
Yes, everything is a podcast. Well, I was just trying to find some stuff, if anybody had anything like super duper positive to say about it. Okay, yeah, actually, here's some good ones. Corey said, the first three episodes are very good, but I didn't give them a 5 rating, and I really felt like they jumped the shark a bit with the whole Glenn thing. But wow, what a great episode. The music at the beginning was amazing, very similar to the music the same director used in The Grove, just nonstop action. Is Carol okay? Damn her and Morgan. They're both so stubborn. Best line, but your dad was an asshole. Nice one, Carl. And look at Father Gabriel starting to man up. It's been a while since the show has had my heart racing like that. There's so much to cover in the second half premiere. I will agree with him. There is so much to cover. That was another question before we go to his last little comment. For Father Gabriel, you like him or you still don't like him?
No, I'm kind of ambivalent about mm-hmm. him at this point, which actually, I mean, is a point in his favor.
Because I think so too.
Yeah, I mean, if I don't feel negative thoughts about him, then he's obviously moving up in the world.
Yeah, even Rick recognized it.
Yeah.
You know, it was a little ominous though, with the fact that he was saying, you know, I'm not going to turn back no matter what happens. And I'm just like, okay, you just basically, you know, ruined it for everybody, because now we know some horrifically horrible shit is about to go down. So, but then Corey also points out, it doesn't look like the Sasha Abra Daryl cavalry is coming with Chekhov's RPG after all. Uh-oh. But yeah, he said one of the best episodes ever, 5 Walker blood covered babies out of 5.
Oh, sweet. That is a great, great rating system.
I think so. It may beat
our
5 bacons.
Might, yeah.
Might have to move to 5 Walker blood covered babies. very nice. So about that ending scene, and I think this is where we'll end this podcast so I can go watch my video game award show. And you can go play Fallout 4.
Thank you.
So do you have any thoughts on that ending scene? Do you have any predictions? Are we going to lose one of the three? Are we going to lose Ginger? Are we going to lose Daryl, Arms, Dixon, or Sasha? Don't remember her last name.
Wow, that is... dang.
Sasha have a last name?
I don't remember that. Have we ever said, okay, wait, her brother was Tyrese.
Tyrese.
Did Tyrese have a last name?
I don't remember it. Certainly don't remember it. But anyway, she doesn't get a nickname. Sexy Sasha. There you
Sexy,
go.
Sexy. There you go. Okay. I almost feel like if it's going to be anybody, it's going to be Ginger.
I think so too. I think that Ginger's gonna have some bad days ahead. I just have a very bad feeling about mm-hmm. him in the back half of this season. So,
and I hate that because I do love him so much, and I don't feel like we've got enough of him this season.
We haven't got enough of him at all.
Yeah,
on the show. Period.
Period. I know.
I mean, him and along with Tyrese. Have been two of the most underutilized characters on the show. Like, they didn't do Tyrese's character justice whatsoever compared to the comic book. Abraham's character, they've done him justice in the sense of he's every bit like you thought he would be
right
in the TV show. There just hasn't been enough of him.
Yeah. I mean, so. the smart comments, the over-the-top personality.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, bigger than life.
Yes, he is a character.
Right.
Character. I can't even say. How do you pronounce the word?
I'd say character.
But caricature?
Oh, a no, he's not. He's not a caricature.
Caricature? God, I can't pronounce it anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Well, I mean, it could be. I mean, mine. it could be a caricature, but.
Yeah, I can't pronounce it right. So. Okay,
that's all right. Google it later.
It's late.
There's an app called How You Say This.
That's what I just need to have that ready on the podcast.
Yes.
And then, you know, whenever I have to read out people's names, it just reads it out in that Siri voice.
It will not do it.
It says, Michael Satrazimis.
Yeah. Oh, wait. I think I'm getting this wrong.
Yeah. Wait. Hold on 1 second. No, I told you to say this. Shit. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, man. What I think is going to happen, I think we're going to get our new character coming into the show.
Do you feel like, so you do feel like we're going to get our new character quicker than later, like we had thought?
Not that character. And if you're a fan of The Walking Dead and you're listening to a Walking Dead podcast, you probably already know what we're talking about. But
oh my God, yeah.
Well, Negan. I don't think it's going to be Negan.
Okay.
I think another character that is a huge, huge fan favorite that we know has been cast already.
Oh yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah.
I think he's going to come in. I get this good feeling, these good vibes that he's going to come in and save the day, because I don't think it's quite their time yet when it comes to Abe or Daryl. I don't think she's going to die. I feel like Sasha's going to be around for a little bit of time, for sure. But I have these bad vibes between Abe and Daryl this season. You know, I've had these bad vibes for Daryl for a while now. But apparently whenever you're Andrew Lincoln's bosom buddy,
yeah,
you definitely get to stay around for a while. Because we know that unless they're lying all these years, they seem very tight.
Whatever. They're not lying.
I don't think you can lie about that love.
No.
Yeah, they look at each other and they have a twinkle in their eye.
Exactly. That is the word bromance came from them, I think.
I think so too. So, all right. Well, I think that wraps it up. We're done podcasting for this one. Hopefully it picked up after that terrible opening.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean,
please God.
We had nowhere but up to go.
Exactly. We set it up really badly. I mean, the good thing is I could technically cut all of that out if I want to.
Yes, but we know better. We know better.
Yeah. At this point, if you listen to us this long,
you know,
yeah,
nothing gets edited out.
Exactly. I've always wondered why we don't get new listeners. We either just lose listeners. That's probably why.
That could be it. Yeah.
Well, make sure you stay on the lookout for our new podcast. We're going to be covering Sci-Fi's new TV show, The Expanse, as well as having a little bonus coverage on that podcast for Sci-Fi's other new miniseries, Childhood's End. Man, cannot say enough good words, to be honest, about both of them. So right now, Expanse Episode 1, it's already out. You can go check it out on YouTube or on sci-fi.com or just a million places. Just go Google Expanse, and it'll probably pull up the video for Episode 1. But Childhood's End, first episode, is freaking phenomenal. One of the coolest things I've ever seen on TV. So, so good. I cannot wait to have the conversation about that episode with me, you, and Hank.
Are we going to have to do like a separate mini podcast?
No. It'll probably just be at the back end of the
Expanse
episode. Yeah,
you're just full of shit. So full of shit.
We'll try to keep it brief. 15 minutes or less on Childhood's End. Because it's only going to be 3 episodes. It's a 3-night event.
It's 3 episodes, but it's 6 hours of television.
It is. It's a movie, basically, each episode. But it's so damn good. So damn good. So be on the lookout for that. And also, we're going to be doing some podcasting during the break. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to have guests on each time we do the podcast, and it's just going to be about that individual and how they became huge fans of the show, you know, what The Walking Dead means to them.
Has it impacted your life?
Yeah, just, exactly.
You know, did you have to add a room onto your home for all your Walking Dead stuff?
Yep. Did you make a podcast with your mom so you could talk about The Walking Dead each week?
Exactly. So, you know, what is it? And so it could be anybody that's listening. If you have a story, then we want to hear those stories. But this is going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think so too. We've already got a couple of guests lined up. I've already talked to Ronnie Hayes.
Yay.
I've been really excited to hear his story. He was very thrilled that you loved his dumpster diving.
I mean, come on.
So, yeah, and if you want to go check out his YouTube, it's just Ronnie Hayes, and Hayes is Haze. So, great YouTube channel. I'm going to try to get the Zeus tuber. Somebody reached out to us and was like, hey, this guy's great on YouTube for The Walking Dead. You know, you guys should talk. So reach out to him as well. I listened to some of his or watched some of his videos. They were great. So, yeah, it's going to be a whole lot of fun. We can't wait. So make sure you stay tuned and hit that subscribe button.
Yes.
On iTunes or Stitcher.
And 5 stars.
And 5 stars. Pretty please. So, all right.
Well, are you going to tell them where they can send their stuff to if they wanted to be a part of the conversation?
Yeah, it's thewalkingnaked@gmail.com.
Awesome. Good boy. Good boy.
You're welcome. And you can follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Just go search for The Walking Naked. And I'm losing my voice.
Okay. Then it must be time to
go.
It must be time to quit.
It's time to go, people. Moving on out. All right. Hope everybody has a fantastic day.
Tell you something, all that glitters ain't gold.